Schools are out, or just about out, across South Florida. But this school year comes to an end like no other.
No traditional graduation ceremonies, no spring musicals, no final games or last concerts. And also, the weekend protests for social justice across the region. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Tom. You're Tom Hudson, and usually you host the Sunshine Economy.
And you are WLRN education reporter Jessica Bakeman. The Sunshine Economy is on summer break, but on Mondays in June, we want to keep connecting with South Florida to hear about life during this new normal.
Today, we want to hear stories about how people are marking the end of this school year. Call us, 800-743-9576.
This is the Dreyfus School of the Arts Choir in West Palm Beach performing during the pandemic. It was a virtual performance online.
Again, if you want to connect with us, call us at 800-743-9576. Hello, this is WLRN Connects, a new program that will be on the air on Mondays. We're also streaming live during the 9 a.m. hour on the WLRN Facebook page. I'm Jessica Bakeman.
Hey, Jessica. I'm Tom Hudson. The idea originally was to host a virtual gathering spot for our audience to share your experiences of all of this new normal brought on by fighting the pandemic of COVID-19 and how the virus has touched all of our lives in so many big and so many small ways.
And over the weekend, with protests against social injustice, we knew we had the chance to listen to all kinds of stories. Today's theme is marking the end of the school year. The school year ends as protests have spread across the country, including here in South Florida, after a white police officer in Minneapolis was charged with murder in the killing of a black man, George Floyd. Young and old, black, brown, and white protesters took to the streets in demonstrations that were both peaceful and, at times, destructive. 2020 graduation weekend, this weekend, next weekend, it's coming with a curfew here in Miami-Dade County and Broward County in an attempt to quell the unrest and the property damage. The burned out cars, looting of stores, and police use of tear gas are an extreme display of the painful reality and long history of racial injustice that a new generation of graduates inherit.
Yeah, these protests are another sign of just how different the end of this school year is, right? I mean, traditional graduation ceremonies were canceled. There were no spring musicals, no final games or last concerts. Later on in the program, we'll hear how some students found new ways to mark the end of this school year. And we want to hear your stories as well. The phone lines are open, 800-743-9576. As we're live in this 9 a.m. hour here on the radio and also on WLRN's Facebook page, you can share your comments and stories there. Again, the telephone number, 800-743-9576. Award celebrations like the annual Silver Knight Awards were held online virtually. The Silver Knight Awards are $2,000 scholarships presented to the cream of the crop high school seniors in Miami-Dade and Broward counties, presented by the Miami Herald, our news partner, and the Knight Foundation. This is Miami Herald reporter Jackie Charles presenting one of this year's awards during a virtual ceremony last week.
Our next Silver Knight in Speech believes the foundation of any good relationship is to listen to each other. It inspired him to create the Hear Me Out Club at his school to give students a platform to speak up about issues that are important to them, as well as to learn to listen to each other and work together. Growing up in a community where many people feel disenfranchised, it was important for him that students could find their voice and feel counted.
T. Jermaine Adams, graduating senior at Miami Carroll City High School, was that 2020 Silver Knight Award winner. And he joins us now to talk about his award, the end of his senior year, and his passion for social justice. Hey, T. Jermaine, you here with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, first of all, congratulations on your Silver Knight Award. That is a really big deal. What was it like sitting there? I guess you were at home on a Zoom with your face broadcast to everyone as your name was called and getting that recognition for your hard work throughout high school.
It was an amazing feeling. It was very emotional, but at the end of the day, once it was over, we decided that it's time to, you know, get back to work. And it's just begun. That's what I like. So.
Absolutely. And your graduation is coming up on June 10th. How are you feeling about the end of your senior year?
I'm sad that it has to look like this, but at the end of the day, I am graduating. I am finished, and I am moving on. So you just got to stay thankful.
Absolutely, and that is something to be grateful for and to celebrate. We also have Joseph Mullen with us. He's a graduating senior at Cypress Bay High School in Broward County and another Silver Knight Award winner. Joseph, you went to the protests in Fort Lauderdale over the weekend. Can you tell us what that was like and set the scene for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So the protest was very well organized. It was organized primarily by activist organizations such as the Broward Black Lives Matter organization. And they started explicitly with the intention of remaining peaceful. And as I was there, you know, I was there for 3 hours with my dad. They remained, you know, almost entirely peaceful. There was very little instigation. And it seemed that only at the end of the protest, unfortunately, the message sort of was contorted. But I'd like to say that from my experience there, it's very clear that these protests are peaceful, that they have the intention of being peaceful in order to make change.
Well, and one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you both about your awards and about everything that's been going on is because both of you, you know, part of why you were recognized with the Silver Knight Awards was because of your passion for social justice and the projects that you took on at your schools and your communities to try to improve these issues. Joseph, for you, did some advocacy to try to get some education in the Broward County School District about apartheid in South Africa. Can you tell us why that's important to you?
Absolutely. So my mom grew up under the apartheid system in South Africa. My dad, when he was in college, was an activist, just like many young people are now against racial issues. My dad advocated in college for divestment from apartheid to try and end it in South Africa. I think that nowadays it's imperative that we teach people my age about what the apartheid system was and some of the unfortunately striking similarities and parallels within the United States in terms of racial inequity and police brutality and issues that we're seeing play out right now in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. I think if we start teaching high school students at the high school level about those inequities, we can prevent these changes and these inequalities from permeating into the future.
And T. Germaine, you have a podcast focusing on politics from the perspective of Black Americans. So I would think you've also been paying close attention to the unrest following the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis by a white police officer. What do you think about the protests?
I think that the protests are necessary. I think that the protests are in a situation where a lot of people want to label it as right and wrong, but it's bigger than they are presuming it to be. Like, I think that it's more of a, is it necessary? Is it needed? Is it time? I think that's what the conversation needs to be rather than if it's right or wrong. But yeah, no one wants to have that conversation. People only want to label it as good or bad. So I think that is where the conversation should start.
We are connecting with high school students, parents, teachers across South Florida here on WLRN Connects, a new program on Monday mornings here in June. We want to hear your stories today, talking about marking the end of a school year during this pandemic and at a moment where we're seeing more protests and demonstrations for social justice. 800-743-WLRN is our telephone number. We're also streaming live on WLRN's Facebook page during this 9 a.m. hour. 800-743-WLRN. Let's go to Miami Beach and Bobby on line three. Go ahead, Bobby. You're on the radio.
How are you? You hear me okay?
Hey, loud and clear. Thanks for calling in. Your thoughts?
So I first want to commend the students that are graduating because they are going through something that is unprecedented for high school students. My concern is this. When I was growing up, you know, I'm on Facebook, and I see social media, Instagram, Facebook, a lot of younger people. I get singled out as a boomer, which I'm not. I'm not a boomer. I get singled out in different ways. I'm white, so I get called privileged. I get this from younger generation. Now, let's be honest. When I was in school, we learned about slavery. We learned about civil rights, the activists, the marches. I grew up where protesting peacefully is to be commended, it's to be honored, it's something that every American's right. But let's call it duck a duck because it walks like a duck. These protests are not peaceful. They start out peaceful, but they do not end up that way, and it's not because of the people standing there that are holding their hands up in the front line, where there are whites, there are blacks, there are Asians, there are Latinos. It's the white, black, Latinos, and Asians that are standing behind them from these different groups, white supremacists, Antifa. It's the people behind them that are instigating. The cops don't just start shooting tear gas. But unfortunately, everything I hear that goes towards younger generation of people, it says the cops shooting tear gas, peaceful protest. No, the cops are reacting because they're getting thrown bricks at their heads from these people that are being, these people are cowards. They're standing behind the people with their hands up, and yet they're the ones sneaking behind and throwing bricks at the heads of police officers. And the younger generation thinks that's okay, I think.
Bobby, I hear you. Certainly, it is not exclusive to any one particular generation and protests that we've seen here for social justice. But Joseph, you were at a demonstration on Sunday in Fort Lauderdale. You mentioned that experience a little bit earlier. Respond to what Bobby is saying and his impression of some of these protests.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will just say that in response to what Bobby said, after I left, at 6 p.m., like all the activists and organizers stated, and I will say that the organizers who created the event, it was, you know, predominantly run by organizers and people of color, they stipulated right at the beginning that it was going to be peaceful. Unfortunately, you know, they can't control every single person within that crowd. But I will say that what we witnessed yesterday was the inciting event for some of the violence in Fort Lauderdale. I should note that there was a video of a police officer pushing one of the organizers, who is a black woman, down. So I would just say that, on both sides, there does need to be some restraint. But that clearly, if we're not addressing the issue of police brutality, the reason that those protesters are out there, with the police officers, unfortunately, sometimes using a lack of restraint, if we're not condemning that just as equally as Bobby is condemning the protesters, then we're not going to get anywhere unless we, you know, vigorously condemn police brutality as well.
T. Jermaine, I'm wondering what you heard in Bobby's comments there from a different generation, as someone who has watched the same protest and the demonstration as he has on television and in social media.
Yeah, well, as Bobby stated, we got to call a duck like a duck, right? So I think that when you look at these protests and you see people being angry, you have to understand that these riots are coming from people who've been, and the people who are acting in this way that is so outrageous to people like Bobby. I think that we have to understand that these people have been silent, have been quiet, have been told that though we hear you say Black Lives Matter, we will continue to do what we want. And I think that their actions, again, may not be right or wrong, should be looked at as justified or unjustified. And I think that there is no doubt in anyone's mind that maybe a thrown brick or two should be seen as okay in the eyes of killing another black man. Another black man. I think the another part is the biggest word there. Though, again, I will keep saying this, we should stop looking at these protests as right and wrong and start looking at it as if these people have had another way to voice their problems, right? I just won the category in speech, and the idea was that speaking is bigger than is about communication. And if people are not listening, there are other ways to communicate. That does come from peaceful protests, but we've also seen nonverbal communication through riots and things in that nature. So I think that Bobby, though he comes from he has a beautiful heart and he wants to help, I think that he needs to reconsider how we look at these people who are protesting.
T. Jermaine, hold on the line with us. T. Jermaine Adams is our guest. So is Joseph Mullen. Both are brand new high school graduates, soon to be high school graduates, as we're talking about kind of this odd end, strange end to the school year amidst a pandemic, and now with protests and demonstrations across South Florida and across the country regarding social justice. It is WLRN Connects here, and we are live in this 9 a.m. hour, 800-743-9576. How are you marking the end of this school year? 800-743-WLRN. We're also live on the WLRN Facebook stream right now. Still more to come here on the program. We will continue our conversation with our students, back with our guests and your phone calls again on WLRN Connects, 800-743-9576.
Hello and welcome back to WLRN Connects, a new show on Mondays in June where we'll be talking about life during this weird and stressful time. I'm Jessica Bakeman. On top of a pandemic, an economic crisis, a hurricane season that starts today, our country has been engulfed in protests and demonstrations about racial injustice and police brutality. High school seniors are graduating into this tumultuous reality, but they have some hope that their generation can make a difference.
And we want to connect with you right now, live during this 9 a.m. hour here on the radio. The phone number is 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. You can also connect with us on social media. We are on the WLRN Facebook page, streaming live video right now, again at the WLRN Facebook page. I'm Tom Hudson.
We are taking your calls, and in the last segment, we heard from a caller named Bobby. One of the things he said that stuck out to me was talking about social media and how these protests are playing out and these conversations are playing out in social media. He talked about the younger generation. He mentioned that he was white and said that in some of his dialogues on social media, younger people have called him privileged. And it occurred to me, you know, I think this generation really has the ability to articulate and talk about these issues in a really sophisticated way. And they also have grown up with social media and seeing these dialogues and seeing these videos, sometimes really graphic videos like what we have seen with the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. So I wanted to bring our guests in to talk about that. They're two graduating seniors, T. Germaine Adams, who's graduating from Miami Carroll City High School. And I'll go to you first, T. Germaine. What do you think about social media? Do you think that can be a tool to make our country more just and more fair for people of color?
I think that social media is a very important tool in all of social justice right now. I think that the way that people use it is very strategic, and it encourages and sparks a lot of movements that people wouldn't have even thought about if it wasn't for a video or pictures that they've seen online. So I think it's very important in times like now.
And Joseph Mullen, our other guest, who is a graduating senior from Cypress Bay High School in Broward County, what do you think about this generation? I know you made some comments to the Miami Herald in celebrating your Silver Knight Award about how you thought your generation could be the one to really dig in and make some progress in this issue.
Absolutely. So, unfortunately, something that the activists and organizers said yesterday at the protest was the fact that, and Bobby pointed out, that we've been studying these issues for so long, and it seems, you know, 50 years ago in 2018, MLK was assassinated, and it's struggling to wonder why we haven't made progress. But like T. Germaine pointed out, social media, this new advantage that we have in our ability to use technology to our advantage, has created an opportunity for us to do grassroots organizing with people all over the country, and really organize these protests with such rapidity that we are able to make a statement, not just online, but in person, by making these connections. I will say on the subject of social media, that the issue of misinformation is one I worry about. Mm. And I do believe that social media companies such as Facebook and Twitter, like they did the other day with labeling the president's tweets as violence or misinformation, need to have a greater commitment to exposing misinformation and mistruths, because that may be one of the reasons our dialogue right now is so vitriolic and full of misinformation.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right, Joseph, we've seen such a difference in how the big social media giants have responded to this. Twitter using those labels that were so much in the news last week regarding the president's tweets, and then, of course, Facebook has taken mostly a hands-off approach to it. Let's take another phone call here in Pembroke Pines. Robert is on line one. Go ahead, Robert, you're on the radio now.
It's actually Bobby from Miami. Again, I want to commend these two
okay.
High school students, because I finally hear where some people seem to sound like they're making sense. Because this is, and it's not just a black police brutality problem. Police brutality faces all colors. Yes, black more than white, more than Latinos. I will agree with that. But it faces all people. And there are 800,000 police. less than 1%, which is still a big number, are the ones causing it. It's the minority of them causing the problem for the group. That the protest started out to arrest the cop, who I believe is evil, just because of that video. I can't make judgments because it hasn't gone to court yet. But if you look at that video, that cop should have been arrested.
Yeah, and he was. Bobby, I appreciate it. I'm going to interrupt you just because you've been on the air twice, and you called yourself Bobby from Miami Beach once and then told our phone screener Robert from Pembroke Pines. So I do appreciate you coming on the program and allowing us to hear your perspective. Richard in West Palm Beach. Go ahead, Richard. You're on the radio.
Hello. I think that what we're looking at, and it's important as young people that we recognize it, is we have a social contract. And this contract is with the police, and the police has it with us. We follow their rules, we respect their position, and they protect us. And when that contract is constantly being broken, and you know all the cases of black men and white men, but mostly black men unarmed who are killed, then it is hard that people tell us, the young people, that we must respect this contract when the other side is constantly breaking it. So I think that this reaction of violence, although I abhor violence, violence will take place, showing that if one side doesn't admit and honor a contract, the other side refuses to do so too, and it hurts everybody.
Richard, thanks for sharing that perspective from West Palm Beach. Joseph and T. Germain, let's look forward. As we mentioned, it's a time for celebration for you and your families and friends and teachers, and congratulations to both of you on the Silver Knight recognition and, of course, the graduation. T. Germain, what's next for you?
Well, first graduation, then once graduation's over, then I'll be headed to Atlanta to help out up there and then starting college, hopefully, on a campus, hopefully. So.
When you say help out in Atlanta, what do you mean?
I'm not able to protest down here due to the fear of my parents. So I will be leaving very soon to go to Atlanta with my mom. And once I get up there, she's more open to it. So I'll be up there protesting.
T. Germain, if you're comfortable, can you share with us more about that fear that your parents are feeling about you being involved in protests?
Yeah, so as you guys know, I go to Carroll City, and if you don't know, Trayvon Martin was actually a Carroll City chief as well. And it's been around ever since I was 13. They probably had this fear before that, but they just feared that if I go too far, then it might be the last time they see me. Mm-hmm. If I wear a certain attire, this might be the last time they see me. We were just having this conversation yesterday. I need to look a certain way is what they say. And I always tell them, like, it's not what I wear or where I go. It's who I am. And no matter what, if I'm caught at the right time, it's going to be the last time they see me. So it's this idea that they, in this fear that they have that, I'm just not going to make it as a black man in America.
Do you feel that fear too?
I don't know. I like to walk, so I try to pretend like it's not there. But when you see a police car and your heart begins to beat fast, and you go, "Oh man, I didn't check my mom's there." That's when you realize that this might be a real thing. So yeah, I don't know. I try not to think that I do until it occurs.
Well, I'm so sorry that you have to experience that. It is obviously unfair and unjust and wrong. But I congratulate you that you have been able to, get involved in other ways and that you're planning on getting involved pretty soon in Atlanta. And Joseph Mullen, what about you? Tell us about your plans after high school.
So like T. Germain said, I'm looking forward to graduation. And after that, I plan to attend Cornell University. I'm going to study political science as well as Africana studies. And I was lucky really recently to get the opportunity to be elected to be a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. So I'm looking forward to be one of the many young voices at the DNC this year who's trying to push for some change within one of our major political parties and try and push these issues to a more national stage so we have young voices represented within the political system.
Wow, what an incredible experience that will probably be for you. And it seems like your graduation and the Silver Knight Awards and a lot of other things that are going on that might end up being something that doesn't take place in person because of this pandemic.
Exactly.
Joseph, congratulations on the honor and, of course, on graduating. Joseph Mullen and earlier T. Jermaine Adams, a couple of soon-to-be new graduates here in South Florida, talking with us about their work. We have lots more to come, marking the end of this strange school year here today on WLRN Live in the 9 a.m. hour. Connect with us, 800-743-9576. How are you marking the end of the school year? How about a graduation procession on the water? We're streaming live on WLRN's Facebook page during the 9 a.m. hour, 800-743-9576.
It wasn't pomp and circumstance that greeted the new graduates of Somerset Island Preparatory School in Key West. It was the roar of jet skis. Welcome back to WLRN Connects. I'm Jessica Bakeman. The Key West Charter School couldn't hold a traditional graduation because of the pandemic, so it took to the water. The 11 graduating seniors rode their jet skis by a boat where their principal used a pole to hand out their diplomas.
What a great way to celebrate the conclusion of this really strange school year, brought on, of course, by efforts to stem the tide and slow the spread of the pandemic.
In a very Florida way, a very Key West way.
Absolutely, right? Just off of the southernmost point there in the waters of the Florida Straits. So how are you marking the end of this school year? We want to hear from you live during this 9 a.m. hour. We're on the WLRN Facebook page. We're streaming live on video, also on the radio, 800-743-9576. That's our phone number, 800-743-9576. I'm Tom Hudson.
Well, we just spoke before with a couple of students who are getting ready for their graduations. Now we have a couple of students here who just graduated, so we can congratulate them on that. Of course, they graduated in this unique way on these jet skis. We have with us Jonathan Alberry and Verity Pond. Welcome, both of you. Do we have you here?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I saw the videos. It looked like it was really, really fun. I heard that you guys got some training on the jet skis first. So I guess, Jonathan, we can start with you. Tell us what it was like. What did you think when you were first told, how about for graduation, we put you on a jet ski and you can drive out to your principal and take the diploma from a grabber, like one of those things you use when you're trying to reach something on a top shelf?
I thought it would be like a great experience to do because I don't picture anybody ever doing that until now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely probably something we wouldn't have thought of before. And I think this pandemic is something that, you know, has made us try to be a little bit more creative and a little bit more innovative, especially to make sure that we're celebrating seniors. Verity Pond, how about you? What did you feel? Tell us about that moment when you got onto the jet ski and you were getting ready to ride out to get your diploma.
Yes, so I was really excited, and when I first heard about it, too, I just thought, wow, this is so awesome. Like, it was a really cool experience.
Have either of you ridden jet skis before?
Yes.
No, not for the practice.
Well, what was the practice like? Was it scary? Was it fun? Was it exciting?
It was really fun.
Did you guys get wet in your caps and gown?
Yes.
Yes.
I was wondering, was the diploma laminated somehow? I mean, usually that's a really important piece of parchment paper that that you either frame and put up on the wall, or a parent will stick away for a while. But you want to have that as a keepsake moment. What kind of protection was that diploma in as you took it from your principal over the water?
Well, they didn't hand us the actual diplomas in the water. They just handed us, like, an outside, like, holder. So we weren't getting the actual diplomas, probably because they would have gotten wet.
So what has the end of high school been like for you guys? I'm assuming you've been doing your work at home online for the last few months?
Yes.
Jonathan, tell us about that. What was that like for you? Were you able to learn? Did you feel like you were, you know, able to participate? Did you miss your friends?
It felt like a different environment, but it took a while to get used to.
Okay.
But overall, it was kind of harder than being in school.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we should talk to your principal as well. We have him here with us. His name is Thomas Rumpella. He's the principal of Somerset Island Preparatory School. Mr. Rumpella, please tell us, how did the jet ski graduation come about?
Good morning. So, we have a partnership here at the school with the Keys Learning Center, and we're coming up with ideas, and we refused to do a straight-up virtual graduation because our students just mean too much to us. And one of our big things is we always overcome challenges regardless of what that challenge is. And we wanted to represent that. So Nick Wright came up with the idea to do it on graduation. And I think instinctively my first thought went to no, but then I said, no, you know, let's actually look into this, see if it's possible. So we called up our board, and big props to them, Todd German and the Somerset Academy board. Instead of shooting it down, said, if this is something you think you can pull off, go for it.
And what was it like for you standing on the end of a boat? I mean, I imagine you've probably done this before in the traditional way with students crossing the stage, shaking your hand, turning the tassel. What was it like this time?
You know, it was. I'm pretty aquatic, so I wasn't too worried about the water or anything like that. But I think the best part was, usually when you hand that diploma, you just see this huge smile. And this time they had the masks on, so you couldn't see the smile, but you could see the expression around the mask. And you just knew that this was something they were never going to forget, and they were having so much fun. So it was just that part of the experience was unreplaceable.
Well, that sounds like an incredible bright spot of joy during this otherwise very difficult and stressful time. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Jonathan Albury, Verity Pond, new graduates of Somerset Island Preparatory School, and Thomas Rumpella, the principal. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, congratulations to Jonathan and Verity on their graduation. Congratulations to their families as well. Derek in Miramar has been helping out with some virtual graduations. Derek, go ahead. Derek, you still with us on the radio?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. We're short on time, but I wanted to get your story and tell us what you've been up to.
Sure, absolutely. So long story short, own a video production company that we specialize in live stream. And we really wanted to honor these seniors this year with something special in regards to their graduating, walking across the stage. It's such a visual moment that these students work towards. So what we were able to do is we coordinated with the city officials, Premier Pine, the mayor, the school principal, and we were able to put together a graduation where the students could physically walk across the stage, receive their diplomas on camera, and we were able to broadcast it to over 5,000 people on Friday of last week. So we're really excited about that.
So they had the opportunity to walk the walk then, huh?
They had the opportunity to walk the walk in a very safe social distancing, way all the social distance guidelines in the states were definitely in full effect. But more importantly, the students could, still receive, their diploma in front of their friends, their family members, and even family members who are not, local, if they're here from across the country.
Yeah.
They could see their granddaughter, their granddaughter or their grandson, walking across the stage and graduating. So that was amazing.
Yeah, Derek, well, that's great. Thanks for sharing that story. Derek and Miramar helping with the virtual graduation. Jessica, there's so many different ways and creative ways that folks have come up with to kind of mark the end of the school year or to celebrate all of those usual end of year occasions, right? The final concert, the big spring musical, the recitals, whatever they may be. We want to hear more of those stories live in the 9 a.m. hour. Connect with us, 800-743-9576. Our phone lines are open live in the 9 a.m. hour, 800-743-9576. Still to come, recitals, concerts, and performances go online. That's next.
These are students at Dreyfus School of the Arts in West Palm Beach. This is a performance out of necessity, a virtual performance. Each one at home, but connected online and through music. That's what Welcome back to WLRN Connects. I'm Jessica Bakeman. The pandemic canceled concerts and musicals, recitals, and year-end shows, but students have found ways to keep practicing and sharing their talents.
This is such a remarkable recording. It would be remarkable live, but the fact that they were able to do it virtually and put it all together, thousands of people have viewed and listened to this on YouTube. We want to hear from you how you have marked the end of this special school year during a pandemic. 800-743-9576. I'm Tom Hudson. 800-743-9576. And we're streaming live at WLRN's Facebook page.
You know, Tom, when I first saw that video, which, you know, obviously our listeners can hear it, but they can't see it. You know, it looks like a Zoom video with all the different panels, screens where you can see all of the faces of the students singing, and they're singing a cappella. I have to tell you, I just wept. I listened to it 3-4 times. I was crying through the whole time. And, you know, for me, it was really personal because I'm a singer. I was in choir. I was in musical theater growing up. And when all this stuff started happening as an education reporter, I was thinking about the graduations and, you know, of course, all of the issues we've had with students not being able to get connected to do their schoolwork. But I was thinking if it was me, if I was that 17-year-old senior or 18-year-old senior, I would have been most disappointed about losing the opportunity to do my senior voice recital, to do my spring musical. And so I was really inspired by these students.
It was remarkable. I had goosebumps. I spent a good long time in a lot of band rooms and orchestra rooms and jazz band concerts in middle school and high school myself. And to be able to have that final performance, something that you've been working all year long for, maybe the music hasn't been worked over through the course of all year, but you've spent countless hours in rehearsal rooms and first period band and, you know, just spent so many hours practicing to be able to connect virtually. It really was just a remarkable display of technology and talent coming together.
And we have with us the person who made that happen, Kent Taylor, who is the director of choral studies at Dreyfus School of the Arts in West Palm Beach. Thank you so much, Kent, for being with us. Can you please tell us how you did this?
Well, thank you very much. To be honest with you, when we first started the, you know, with the quarantine, we were meeting online, and you could just tell the students were just so disappointed in the fact that they, just as you summed up, had missed and knew they were going to miss out on the opportunities to perform together. And we functioned kind of like a family. So one of the first things we talked about was, would it be possible to do something like this? So we looked into it. Fortunately, it was music that we had already learned, and that was really key because it's very difficult to learn music individually and then put it together without ever coming together. So what we did was we just decided on a song. We chose Heaven is a Place on Earth because we had a concert coming up in a few weeks that we were going to perform it. So they had already learned it. They had it memorized. And we decided let's put it together. I'll be honest with you, I asked a few of my students who are very technologically savvy. I knew that this could be done, and I said, we're going to make these recordings, and I want you guys to try to put it together. And they agreed to do so. So I made an assignment, and I said, everybody's got to record their own part, and we're going to record it, and then we're going to all send it into a central location. And then I had one student who worked on balancing the voices and, you know, making sure that it was equal, you know, in sound.
You could hear all the different parts.
Exactly. And then I had another student who actually put all the, you know, the visuals together and decided, you know, which box and so forth to put them in. Interestingly enough, we were just on a side note, we did this kind of as a little experiment. We weren't really thinking, you know, I wasn't even sure I wanted to send it out to the public, to be honest with you, because to be frankly honest, it's virtual singing is beautiful, and it can really be, as you said, a neat thing to see. But there's nothing quite like singing when you are together. It's hard to be musical. It's hard to be to do things that would be musically intriguing when you are just singing by yourselves, because essentially that's really what's happening, is they're all singing individually.
Absolutely.
So they have nothing to kind of, they have nothing to key off of.
When you're together, you feed off that energy for each other. I have kind of a technical question about this. Just, you know, if people know about a cappella singing, you usually have somebody has that pitch pipe and they, you know, play the chord or the starting note so that everyone starts on the same note. But even with that, you know, it can be hard to keep the group together and not have it go a little bit off key. And also without, you know, having a conductor in front of you, you know, it's hard to stay together and be in time without that, you know, the musical instruments in the background. So I did notice that in the video, you know, some of the students or maybe all the students looked like they had earbuds in. Were they listening to a recording or like a track of the song?
They were. There's actually a there's an accompaniment track to this song. Okay, so it should have piano accompaniment with it, but we decided we wanted to do it a cappella. We just thought it sounded better that way. So what we did was, we took the recording of the accompaniment and we sent it out so that they each listened to that in their ears, and then they just sang along. Yeah. That took care of them staying in the same key. It also took care of the timing issue of making sure that they were all exactly together.
And you said you weren't sure if you wanted to even send it out into the world, and then it ended up going kind of viral. Well, there was a USA Today story about it. All these people watched it on YouTube. What was that like? What did you hear from your students about that?
That's correct. That was very bizarre in that, honestly, like I said, we were literally going, this was going to be our experiment, and then we were going to try to do another one or two that were decent. And we did, but what was funny, the most noticeable thing I noticed when we did it was I never made a reference to, okay, make sure you're a certain distance from the camera, make sure that you're looking in the same place. So if you look at it, it's kind of a little bit weird in that they're kind of in different places. And I remember when we did that, I thought, okay, well, this is good. It sounds good. I sent it to our principal. We had a faculty meeting one day. I sent it to our principal and a few of our APs, and I said, because they were talking about, wow, we really missed the music and all the arts. And so I said, well, here's what we've been doing.
We missed them too.
Yeah.
Well, the principal sent it to, I think, the superintendent, and they sent it out to the – and next thing I know, like two or three days later, I'm seeing USA Today pictures. The superintendent sent it out on Twitter.
He tweeted it, yeah. What a surreal experience.
You know, 3 or 4 days later, Belinda Carlisle, who wrote the song, has commented on it.
Wow.
There you go. Kent, well, congratulations. Congratulations to you and your students. It really is a ray of sunshine and a reminder of the potential and the reality of the kind of talent that you have been teaching. Kent Taylor has been with us, the director of choral studies at Dreyfus School of the Arts in West Palm Beach. A remarkable display, again, of talent and technology with the a cappella version of Heaven on Earth from the Dreyfus School of the Arts Choir. We got more to come here as we're marking the end of the school year during a pandemic, during this 9 a.m. hour live with us, 800-743-9576. Coming up, what it's like retiring from the classroom without being able to be in the classroom. That's next.
Well, welcome back to WLRN Connects, and thank you so much for listening to Public Radio. I'm Jessica Bakeman. Well, we've talked to some students who had to end their educational careers online during this pandemic. Some educators have had to end their whole careers this way.
It has been a remarkable end to the school year because of the pandemic, and we'd like to hear from you. How are you marking the end of this academic year? A parent, a student, a faculty member, a neighbor, 800-743-9576. I'm Tom Hudson.
Diane Wolk Rogers has been a teacher for 35 years, 20 of them at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. And she spent 15 of those years in room 428 until the last few months of school when classes shifted online. Her career included not only this health crisis, but also the tragedy of February 14th, 2018, when 17 students and school staff members were killed in the nation's deadliest high school shooting. Welcome, Diane. Thank you so much for being here with us and sharing your experience with us today.
Well, good morning, Jessica and Tom. Thank you for having me.
So I understand you're an AP Social Studies teacher. If you were in class today, how would you talk to your students about the civil unrest over racial injustice and police brutality that has exploded over the weekend?
Well, the best way to talk to them is to listen to them and to allow them to share what they feel about it and to learn how to have a teaching civil discourse, how we listen to each other, how we don't judge each other, and how we just validate each other's feelings. And I think that's something that's, you know, really, really important to do at this time. My students, you know, from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, they're still grieving the loss of their teachers and their classmates, you know, as you said, mentioned from the shooting. And our staff and our administration has really attempted to try to create a sense of normalcy for this class of 2020. At the time of the shooting, the students were with me and they were sophomores. And now we see that once again, you know, that rite of passage of proms and of sports banquets and normal graduation ceremonies isn't going to happen for them, and they're getting slammed again. And also with the death of George Floyd, you know, seeing the worst of humanity. So I think what we need to do is we need to listen to our youth. So badly I want to be able to fix it, and I can't. So I try to look for the silver lining. And I think what we have to realize is that for class of 2020, for all of us to live a fulfilling life, that means not only experiencing joyful moments, but also having the coping skills to deal with life's, you know, uncertainties and painful emotions. So after the shooting, one of the last things I did is I cleaned out my room, as I took down a poster that I put up after the shooting, and the poster said, "Smooth seas never made skilled sailors." And one thing I know for sure is that the class of 2020, they can steer a rowboat through a hurricane.
You know, and I was going to ask you, you mentioned, you know, the last time you were in your classroom, I know that you wrote something about that last time, and when you sat there and you listened to the silence, but that's not what you heard. Can you tell us about that moment?
Yeah. After I had finally, you know, taken everything down, my bulletin boards, I threw away the files, and I cleared my room out, I just wanted to sit in my classroom one last time. And, you know, I was hoping for a message of hope and comfort, but instead, I heard those gunshots, and I saw my students, you know, scrambling again over the fence and screaming in the agony of all of us as we, you know, learned that our students and our colleagues were dead. Mm. But there is a difference this time. There's something that I've learned. You know, post-traumatic growth can be a beautiful thing too, and that's something that I want to continue to help others, you know, learn how, is that I didn't avoid it. I didn't numb myself. I just listened to it deeply, and I tried to listen to a message.
Well,
go ahead.
No, you finish, please.
Oh, no. So this after I sat for what seemed like an hour, it was probably less than 10 minutes, you know, the silence, it began to speak to me and it said, "Your story's not over, Dinah. You know, it's only a part of your story." And that helped me leave my classroom filled with so much gratitude for the honor and privilege of teaching my students in Room 428. And my heart is so full right now knowing that this class of 2020, they're going to lead third generation and bring in a much kinder and gentler world.
So what's the next chapter of your story then?
Well, my next chapter is, you know, teachers, we're all solar powered. We recharge over the summer. So that's what I plan on doing. And in the fall, in some capacity, I plan to continue to promote health and healing in our community, because we really need to look at the mental health crisis that we have. And that's where I want to put my energies.
And we only have about a minute left, but you mentioned that, you know, you have hope in your students and what they're going to lead into the future. And obviously you saw that with the March for Our Lives movement after the shooting. How do you think young people will shape this current struggle for racial and social justice?
Yeah, I think that they are going to look at the problems that we have in our systematic racism, and they're not going to stand for it, and they're going to unite together, and they're going to do something differently. You know, it was written that this racism that's in our country, this was, you know, constructed by my generation, and we failed. We absolutely failed. And this new generation, as you can see, they're going to rise up together. They're going to unite. They're going to put thoughtful planning into changing the system. I absolutely know that's going to happen.
Well, and certainly the racism and structural inequality came from before your generation as well, going back to the beginning of the history of our country, which is one of the biggest challenges that we face in trying to change it. And that's about all the time that we have for today. So thank you so much, Diane Wolk Rogers, for joining us and talking to us about the end of your career. Congratulations on your retirement. Peter Mayers is our technical director for our show today. Katie Lepre is our engagement editor. Polly Landis is our booking producer. Denise Royal helps with producing and answering the phones. And I'm Jessica Bakeman.
Thanks, Jess. I'm Tom Hudson. Congratulations to all the graduates and their families.